hard for him. I waited for Mom to say something that would show she was happy, but she sat there looking like she'd been slapped. Despite all her efforts to keep them apart, Wavy and Kellen were together. I felt sorry for Wavy, because we were the only family she had, Kellen and Donald and us. She hadn't come to rub my mother's nose in it. She'd come to make up with Mom. "So when did you get married?" I said.
"She didn't tell you."
The heavy crease between Kellen's eyes smoothed out and he smiled.
"I thought you told her, sweetheart. Day after we got the bike, we rode down to Vegas and got married. Her roommate Renee and her boyfriend followed us down in the car, in case we had any troubles with the bike. But everything was dandy."
"The postcard? I didn't realize that was... Congratulations!" I'd received a postcard of the Las Vegas Strip, but all she'd written on the back was, "Thank you," signed with a W and a heart. "Was that fun?" Leslie said.
"It was a whole lot of noise and people, and we were tired when we got there, but, you know, we had a great ride, and we didn't have to wait 3 days for a marriage license."
Impatient, Wavy gave Kellen a sly look that made him grin.
"Hell, we was engaged for 8 years. I'd say I was plenty patient."
Wavy laughed. Mom scowled at her plate.
"We talked about eloping, but Leslie wanted to do the big ceremony," Bryce said.
"What was it like? You didn't have an Elvis impersonator, did you?" Leslie said. Mom stood up like you would at a wedding reception to make toast, and I thought she would finally say something to make Wavy feel welcome. All she did was put her salad and dessert plates on top of her dinner plate and gather up her silverware.
"You cooked it, Brenda. We can clear it off," Kellen said.
She let him take the plates out of her hands. While he carried her dishes to the kitchen, the conversation was dead. Mom sat down, but without a plate to glare at, she finally looked at Wavy. I wondered if she was doing the same thing I was doing, trying to figure out what was different about Wavy. There was something different. Not just that when Kellen came back to the table and ran his finger across his pie plate, Wavy opened her mouth and let him stick the whipped cream in. Something passed between them, and he frowned.
"Oh, sweetheart. Are you sure you want to do this right now?" he said.
"Before Donald comes back."
"Fair enough."
Wavy took a deep breath and said, "Sean killed Val and Liam." Aunt Val had been dead for 7 years, but finding out who killed her turned it into a fresh wound. Leslie cried. I cried. Mom fell apart. Everyone else sat there quietly waiting for it to be over. Finally, Leslie wiped her eyes and said, "Do the police know?" Kellen reached for his wallet, chain rattling, and pulled out a folded sheet of notebook paper. With a worried look on his face, he smoothed the paper on the table.
"No, we haven't told the police nothing. I don't think Donald's ready for that. He hasn't exactly been making friends with the cops lately." He wrote this to Wavy while he was still in juvie, right after we found out where he was. They sent a whole lot of letters while we were trying to get the custody stuff figured out. The first half is about Sean, about the situation. "Look, I don't want to say nothing rude. I don't know if I..."
"Just say it," Mom said.
"The first part is just about, you know, Sean being Donald's father."
Kellen wasn't a fast reader, and he seemed worried about saying the wrong thing. I thought of offering to read it, but it was Wavy's letter and she'd given it to him.
"That day when you dropped Donald off at the ranch, he says he went up to the farmhouse and Liam's bike was there, and Val's car. Donald says, 'I could hear him yelling. Sean, he means. You said you loved me. You promised, you bitch. Sorry.'
'It's okay,' I said.
'And Mama was screaming, "You killed him." She was crying, and I was too scared to go in, because they were yelling the way Liam did. You know, how he would get crazy. I wanted to run away, but I was scared to leave Mama there.'"
Wavy stared through the dining room wall, but the rest of us watched Kellen, who put his hand over his eyes for a moment, when he went back to reading, his voice raw.
"Mama was saying, 'No, no,' and then I heard the gun. After that, it was quiet for a while. So I opened the door and saw Mama. She was on the floor with the gun in her hand, but Sean was standing over her. He told me what to say to the cops, to tell them I was alone, that nobody else was there. He made me say it over and over, so I wouldn't screw it up. Sean said if I told anybody he was there, something bad would happen to you. That's why I went back to the house after Sean left and took the gun. I went. Kellen stopped. Mom was crying again. Wavy squeezed Kellen's arm, and he said, "I don't want to read that part." "Yes," Wavy said. "No, sweetheart, I really don't."
"Please." After almost every sentence, I thought Kellen would cry, but he made it to the end of the letter.
Donald says, "I went to the garage, and I saw you and Kellen together. I'm sorry about spying on you, but I was so scared. I needed to know you were okay. If you were with Kellen, I knew you were safe. Except the cops said, he raped you. Maybe that was my fault, because I told the cops that I saw you on the desk in the office with him, and then after Kellen got arrested, it wasn't safe to tell anybody. Sean always said something bad could happen to you. I didn't know what he might do if Kellen wasn't there to protect you. Now that Sean's dead, I guess I can tell you. I hope you're really coming to visit me like your letter says. Since you're my sister, they say I can have a contact visit with you. See you soon. Love, Donald."
Kellen picked up his napkin and blew his nose. He sat with his head down until Wavy stood up and leaned over him. When he raised his head, she held his face in her hands and kissed him. She glanced at Mom, and for a good minute, all they did was look at each other. Mom had tears running down her face, but Wavy was smiling.
"You wanted to protect me."
"I know. We're going to be okay."
"I'm glad," Mom whispered.
She actually sounded it. The front door snapped open, and Donald skulked into the dining room holding a styrofoam cup. Fumbling in one of his sweatshirt pockets, he pulled out a handful of crumpled bills and the car keys. When he laid them on the table next to Kellen's plate, a few coins rolled loose and fell on the floor.
Jeez, he said,
seeing us all looking weepy. "It's okay. I think we're done crying," I said. Donald reached out and laid his hand on the back of Wavy's neck.
"I see paws," she said, and swatted him away.
For a second, he cracked a smile. Then she picked up her plate and carried it out to the kitchen. Kellen followed her with the ham platter, and Donald trailed after them. When I took what was left of the pie into the kitchen, the three of them were standing at the sink. Donald and Wavy were both eating off her plate, and Kellen was washing dishes.
Seeing them next to each other, I figured out what was different about Wavy. The top of her head almost reached Kellen's armpit. She had grown.
This has been an Audible Studios production of All the Ugly and Wonderful Things, a novel. Written by Bryn Greenwood. Performed by Georgina Marie. Producer, Mike Charzik. Copyright 2016 by Bryn Greenwood. Production copyright 2016 by Audible, Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible, Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.